My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Your Finances, Your Future. This is Danita DeReese. And you know, we are going to continue this credit game, learning about credit, how to utilize credit, what credit is good for, what credit is not good for. You know, a lot of us have this misconception that when we apply for credit cards that we're supposed to max some cards out. That's not the reason for us to get credit cards. We just haven't been taught or trained properly how to utilize credit cards and how to make them benefit us. A lot of times we are benefiting the company of that card that we have, because we get the card and you may get a $5,000 credit limit. And for some reason in your mind, you need to go spend $5,000. Now, spending that $5,000 on absolutely nothing, because a lot of times when we spend that money, we don't even know what we purchase. We just keep pulling that credit card out. Here, put it on this card. Here, put it on this card. We have to start being a little bit more mindful on what we are doing with our credit and our finances, for the simple fact that's how we get ourselves into debt. And we continue to get into debt. And then, you know, we always, the card is maxed out. Let us get another card. And we're going to max out that card. And the next thing you know, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You are $15,000 in debt, $20,000 in debt. I've heard people having over $200,000 in credit card debt. And that was not on no business expense at all. They didn't utilize these cards for what was cards supposed to be used for. You know, they put their weddings on it. They put car payments on it. They put, you know, things that you should look at other opportunities or other ventures on those particular ventures in your life, such as a wedding. You don't want to put your whole wedding on a credit card. And then you go into your marriage and you're $25,000 in debt on a credit card for a wedding. First of all, weddings shouldn't even cost that much, people. We have to start learning how to scale down. We don't have to be the person or the family to showboat. We don't have to say, oh, we got a Mercedes Benz or we got a BMW. And in reality, you're barely have money to pay for it. So we have to learn how to maximize our income that we have and start saving money and putting money away or investing money in stocks or mutual funds or bonds or IRAs. We have to start learning these things, because the way the world is today, money is really depreciating. You know, next thing we're going to, you know, you see all these Bitcoins and all these other types of currencies that's coming through. So you need to put yourself in an area where if something happened, you will have the funds to take care of that emergency situation. It don't even have to be an emergency situation. You may just want to go on vacation, but you didn't plan for it. But you know, you put money away for so many years. You can just take that money that you put away and go on your vacation out the whim. Like, you know, you might want to go on a weekend vacation. If you live up in Michigan, you might want to go on a weekend vacation down in Florida. You know, you have that money in the bank that you can do that with, that you know that money is not needed for anything as far as bills and medical expenses or car expenses and things of that nature. You know, that money is just sitting there to be sitting there. It hasn't been appointed to anything yet. And that's a good thing, because the money hasn't been appointed to anything. That means you can just say, I have money in the bank and continue to build from there. A lot of us, like I said, when we were raised, we didn't have parents or family members that had a, you know, most of us didn't come from wealth, and most of us didn't have people that was in business, you know, with some, you know, mom and pops restaurants or a deli on a corner. A lot of us didn't come from that. We came from working parents. Our parents probably worked in factories most of the times, or our parents probably worked in hospitals or schools. You know, we didn't have family to teach us how to utilize a credit card. And what we end up, what we seen when we were younger was that we seen our parents just pulling out this card and charging it. But what we didn't know as a kid, that that money needs to be paid back. And it needs to be paid back in a timely fashion. Because we all know if you don't pay it back in a timely fashion, that money will gain interest like wildfires. Okay? You never want to pay the minimum. We didn't know about paying minimums. We didn't really know about paying extra. We didn't know, you know, we just don't know these things. We didn't grow up knowing these things. You know, a lot of us just paid the bare minimum. If it says the minimum payment $25, that's what we're going to pay. We're going to pay that $25. But we have to get out of that thinking, because we want to pay that card off completely, or at least down to 30% usage of the card. I would say even lower than that. You know, if you want a nice credit score, 780, 800, 825, you want to really spend about 15% or lower on your credit cards. You know, if you have a credit card that's $3,000, you probably don't want to spend no more than $300. That's about 10% of that card. You don't want to spend that much money. And it help you with your credit score increasing and not decreasing. Once you max out your credit card, so that $3,000, and you max out that credit card to about, let's say, $2,500, believe it or not, your score have dropped at least 50 to 60 points just because of you maxing out that particular card. And just think, if you have a couple of cards, how many points are you dropping? You want the game here is to increase your score so that you can get the things that you want in life. And a lot of us want to purchase a home, but we don't want to purchase a home needing a large down payment or having a high interest rate on a home. You know, we want to purchase a car. We don't want to purchase a car having 29% interest rate. That right there is absurd. So we do not want to pay three times what the car value is by the time we're done paying that 60 months. So you want to get your credit score increase, and you want to make sure that when you go out to buy a house, you go out to buy that car, that you are having the best score as possible. Because when you go buy a car, I've seen people pay 24% for a car, which I thought was, you know, not, you know, people just didn't know. They just don't know. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And paying that much for a car is, you know, that extra money you could have put in the bank somewhere, or you could have went on family vacation. So you want to actually try to pay the lowest of car interest, 0% interest, 3% interest, 7% interest, 8% interest, you know, 10% interest. That's still a little high, but it's not as high as 24% interest. So you want to just make sure when you are ready, and and the thing about what end up happening is people don't plan. So they say, okay, my credit is 680. You know, I don't plan on getting a car no time soon, so I don't really have to work on my credit score. But let's just say your car transmission just went and you have no money to pay for that transmission. And you may have to go get a car. You may have to go get a personal loan for $4,000. So with you having a 680, you may get denied for that personal loan for $4,000, just for a measly $4,000. Trust me, it happened to me. I had a 720 score and I got denied for a $4,000 loan because I had derogatories on my credit reports, you know, things in collections. I had a few things in collections, but I had a decent score, but I had collections and I had derogatories on my reports. Only two, but still, they will deem you for that. So you want to still make sure you are, even though you have a vehicle, you want to still make sure you're keeping your credit up just in case if you need to go get a personal loan to fix that vehicle or to fix some plumbing in the house or to fix some electrical in the house. You want to make sure you still have enough money You want to make sure your credit score is increased enough to where you still can get a lower percentage on anything that you go get. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a few things, what people do to mess their credit up, to have bad credit scores or drop their credit scores. They, you know, we have the tendency not knowing exactly how many points that is being dropped on our scores every time we do something. So one of those things is never, I'm going to say it again, never close an account that you have had for a while. Although you paid down that account, you do not want to close it because you paid it down to zero and you don't want the card no more. Two things is going to happen. One, of course, your credit score is going to drop. Two, it shows the longevity of you having that card, of having credit, I should say, drops. Because if you open a new card 30 days ago, it's going to show your newest card 30 days ago, not the card that you canceled that you have for 10 years, because it's no longer listed. So that 10-year card that you had is not listed. So it's only showing that you have new credit for 30 days ago. That's what you don't want to do. So what you want to do, pay down the cards and put it away. Pay down a card and cut it up. Pay down a card and just, you know, every 90 days, every 3 months, every 120 days, go purchase some gas for your car and pay the bill off next month when it come in. Or buy a pair of socks and pay the bill off when it come in. At least it just shows that you're using the card. That way, also, the company itself, the creditors itself, will not close the account. Because they will close the account if the card is not being used. And they'll close the account because the card is not being used because they're not making no money off of you. So why is, you know, a credit card company going to leave the account open, but you haven't used the card in the last year? The game for them is to make money off of you, off that interest. So if they're not making any money off of you, they're automatically just going to close the account. And then it's going to show on your report, creditor closed account due to non-activity. That can also drop your score. So we have to be very mindful on not closing the accounts that we have. The other one is people who like to dispute or like to do their own credit repair, try not to dispute online. Now, I've heard this from a couple of people who I study, which is Mark Claiborne and Derek Harper. I heard them say this a few times, you know, don't dispute online because you're giving up your rights to sue the credit bureaus. And when you try to dispute online, you can only dispute like five different categories. There are about 200 categories that you can dispute when you need to dispute with the credit bureaus. So you don't want to knock out the 195 that you're missing. When online, they only let you do like five different categories. So you want to make sure that you are disputing on paper, sending it in, typing it up, send it in. Because the other thing about disputing online, you don't have a paper trail. So if you don't have a paper trail, how are you going to see what is happening? So if they say if you send in a dispute and they say verify, how did they verify it? What paperwork did they send you and said the steps that they verified it with? So you don't want to dispute anything online. Now, you want to make sure you have all your rights for just case if you need to sue the credit bureaus. You want to make sure you have all that, ladies and gentlemen. Do not dispute online. Now, there are some circumstances that you may want to dispute online. That's something real simple. But like I said, to have a paper trail, you want to make sure you're sending in that dispute via mail so that you know the date, time, and they have to send you a response within the next 30, 45 days. I say 45 days because, you know, by time you send it out, probably take them about 5 days to get it and send it through the eOSCAR system. And they report it and they look at it. They send information over to the creditor that you're disputing with, and then they send something back. And so it may take about 45 days by the time it gets back into your mailbox. Okay. The other thing is most people when doing their own credit is that they fail to get the paperwork validated by collection agencies. And what I mean by that, a collection agency is going to say, ABC company states that you owe $350 and we're the collection agency collecting from it. Now, what you want to do is don't make a payment arrangement with any collection agency. Okay. Until they can tell you that the debt is validated. And what they need to send you is, are they able to collect the debt in your state? Some collection companies cannot collect in certain states. They're not registered to do that. Do they have the actual contract that you signed from ABC company? Do they have the correct amount? How do they know you owe $350? You may only owe $80, but you know they got the wrong amount. So you want to make sure you send all the information in and tell them to send you back the information you are asking for. Ask them, you know, show that they owe you the money. Never say how much you owe. That's another thing when another mistake individuals make when they're trying to repair their own credit. Never say the amount that you owe. Never say, you know, this isn't a repossession. This is a credit card. Whatever case may be. Don't give them information. They need to send you the information. You have to make them accountable. Don't give them information that they can use against you at any given time, because they will. Because they'll say, well, you just said it wasn't a repossession. It was just a late payment. Well, what's the point of what leverage do you have now? You just told them what it was. They need to tell you and they need to investigate the information to see if it was a repossession or if it was a late payment. So you don't want to just say, hey, this was a late payment, not a repossession. You absolutely don't want to give them too much information. Giving them information is like, you might as well not even just dispute. That's the thing about, you know, credit repair disputing, is that you have to know a lot of different tactics to do it correctly. And a lot of us just don't know those tactics. So you want to make sure you're looking on YouTube, looking at some of the people that's online. I recommend people looking at Derek Harper. I recommend people looking at Ebony Du Bois. I recommend people looking at Mark Claiborne. I recommend people looking at L. Williams. So you want to look at these people and see what they're doing, what they're teaching, in order for you to go out there and dispute on your own if you choose so. The other thing with disputing, don't give up. Please don't give up what you're disputing. This is another mistake people have with their credit, trying to do their own credit. Don't give up, because what end up happening is you're going to send a letter. The credit bureau is going to send back, oh, it was validated. Or it was investigated. And then now you're thinking like, okay, they said this is right, so therefore I don't have nothing else to do. You have plenty of steps to do. Plenty of steps to do. Because if they say it was validated, how was it validated? Now, say you sent in 15 different disputes. Which dispute was validated? They didn't tell you which one. They just said your dispute was validated and no correction is needed. But which one was disputed? They didn't say if it was Paul and Sam's company or Maria Ann's company. They didn't say it was them. So you need to send the letter back. Okay, you said it was validated. So which one are you talking about? Because you didn't say which one you were talking about. So you have to, it's a game. And you got to know how to play the game. You got to go back and forth with these creditors and credit bureaus to make sure that you're getting all the information that you need and to get things deleted off your credit report. Now, another thing I'm going to say real quick, just because I said that, just because you had something deleted off your credit report, it do not mean you don't owe the bill. Only reason it was deleted is because it wasn't 100% accurately on the credit report. It has to be 100% right on the credit report. That's the only reason why it was deleted. You still owe the company the money. So never think because you got to delete it, you don't owe the company the money. The other only ones I would say is with collection agencies is not to start a payment plan with them. Absolutely not. Until you know the rules of how to dispute with the collection agency. Sometimes you may want to do a pay per deletion just to get off your credit report. And that pretty much means just going and say, hey, I owe $1,000. Are you willing to take $400? Can you put that in writing and send it to me? Don't give them your credit card online. Don't give them your bank account online. You sell them to send you a bill with that pay per deletion in it, and you send them a money order. Do not give them your account information because they will go on your account and take what they need to take. That's just taxes of collection agencies. Another one is statute of limitations. We're going to do that one. Statute of limitation. A lot of states have statutes of limitations. So you want to look at your state laws and see what's on your credit report that's outside the statutes of limitation, because those items should be removed off your credit report. Most items is like 7 years, unless it's like bankruptcy or any type of a judgment. Those are some up to 10 years, some of them up to 15 years. You have to check with your state to see how long something can stay on your credit report. And another thing with that with the statute of limitation, this is why I say don't debate with the collection agency, because you could have had something that's about to come off in the next 2 months, but you got a collection agency just called you just before the statute of limitations, and they called you and they started a payment arrangement with you. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what you just did? You just started the statute all over for the next 7 years. It's called re-aging. You just started all over. So do not make payment arrangements with collection agencies until you learn how to actually dispute with collection agencies. I know this is a lot of information, but you know, we have to get to a point to where we know how to dispute with these agencies. We have to get to a point to we know how to read our credit reports. That right there in itself, most people just don't even know how to read the credit report. And they just, I think my last show, I talked about how to read the credit report, and they just tend to just look at the credit report and it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo going on. Once you learn how to read that credit report, then you'll be better. You'll be well in control on how to dispute anything that is on your credit report. Like I said, everything across all three bureaus have to be 100% correct. So if TransUnion is showing that you owe a balance of $100, if Equifax is showing that you show a balance of $25, and TransUnion shows that you show a balance of, let's say, $60, all of those are wrong. Which one is correct? They have to tell you which one is correct. But you don't, one thing about that is you do not want to go after positive credit on your report. Even if they're wrong, you don't want to go after it because that's showing positive credits. So anything in collections or medical that's coming in, you want to make sure you go in and go through all of that and see what is showing, what is not showing 100% across all three bureaus. And that's where you're going to start to do your dispute. It could be last payment history, last activity. It could be the balance that you owe. It could be the credit card limits. A lot of times those are probably off. You know, you just want to go through line by line just to see and check everything out and see what you owe and what you don't owe. And like I said, disputing people may seem like it's easy, but it's not really easy because there's a lot of laws that you have to pay attention to that helps you for your benefit. And if you're not willing to learn the laws to help you for your benefit, then you know, you'll have some results, but you'll have better results if you go and start learning laws at the FCRA, you know, all of these different laws that's out here to help you with your credit. So I am so glad I can be here with you on this journey. If you need to contact me to ask me any questions, I am on Facebook under Venita Durice. That's VenitaDurice. And you can contact me on Facebook if you have any credit questions, or if I can help you in some way to solve some of your problems, or if you just really don't understand what's going on with your credit report. But if you need help with anything in regards to that, I am here and willing to help you guys. Those are just a few mistakes people make with credit and trying to fix it themselves. Our next show, I will be giving you a few more mistakes that individuals make. I want to sign off for this show. This is Venita Durice with Your Finances and Your Future. And let's get our finances in order so we can live a better life, a better dream, and live in abundance. Have a pleasant morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are at in this world. Have a pleasant day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.